We don't talk about pride very much. And yet, to God, it's a big deal. And so this morning, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, one of the questions he wants every one of us to ask ourselves, am I one of those who is proud?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message broadcast last week, we heard Pastor Brian Grant relate from the Christmas story how the Luke account records that, as his birth drew near, there was found no room to welcome him who would be born to be king. Since there was no room found for his divine birth, we likely know the story of how Jesus was instead born in a cold, dirty cave and laid in an animal feeding trough. What a humble arrival that was for the King of Glory, emphasized Pastor Grant, as he challenged us with the question, do you have room for Jesus? But since the gospel message requires a response from the hearer, Pastor Grant picks up that theme again this evening as he brings his message to a conclusion. So if you have your Bibles, we encourage our listeners to turn once again to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2 and follow along as Pastor Grant finishes his message entitled, Birthday of the King. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Oh, if you feel left out sometimes, if you feel like you're an outcast, just remember Jesus came for those who people think aren't worth very much. And here Jesus appears, and the only people Jesus appears to are the shepherds. Isn't that amazing? The only people he appears to are the lowly shepherds. So why did he only appear to shepherds? Did you pick it up? That there is a thread. Jesus, the King, arrives where? In a lowly manger. God makes an announcement about the King's arrival, and he only makes it to lowly shepherds. There's a big lesson here. Put this in your notes. To experience God's grace, we must humble ourselves before him. To experience God's grace, we must humble ourselves before him. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. I'm not even going to ask you, are you proud? Because the truth is, most of us are going to say no. And yet the truth is, this is one of the issues that most humans really need to face. That there is something in us that makes us want to feel we are very special. Now, of course, I want to talk about who I am, what I have, and who I know. And of course, now that I have Facebook, I can tell everybody what I have and who I know. There is something in us, and God is saying to us, whether you are a Christian or not, God is warning you that he resists the proud. I'll never forget, about 15 years ago, I preached a message on pride. When I was finished, a gentleman, a Christian, met me after the service, and he said, why did you waste 40 minutes talking about pride? Why didn't you talk about something that would be useful and helpful? Well, the reality is, God hates pride. We don't talk about pride very much. And yet, to God, it's a big deal. And so this morning, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, one of the questions he wants every one of us to ask ourselves, am I one of those who is proud? Two ducks and a frog lived together in a pond, and after a while they became friends. And so You know, they played together all summer, the ducks and the frog, they played all summer. But as the weather started to get cold, the ducks realized that the water was drying up and they would need to move. Well, you know, for them it's easy, we can just fly. But our poor little frog friend, he can't fly. So they came up with an amazing plan. What they decided to do, they got a stick and each duck held one side of the stick with his bill. So one duck over here, one duck over there. And so they said, we will hold this each side and the frog, he can just hold on with his mouth. Well, they did it. But soon after they took off, and here they're flying, they're not so high yet, and they passed over this farm, and the farmer looked up and saw this amazing sight, two ducks holding the stick with their bill, and a frog holding on by his mouth, and the farmer was so impressed, he said to his wife, honey, is that amazing? I wonder whose idea it is. The frog, he was so proud, although it wasn't really his idea. The frog said, it was my idea. Well, you know what happened to him? The Bible was right when it said what? Pride goes before a and fall. He did as he exercised his pride. Pride goes before a fall. May God help us this morning that we are humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Listen, here's the second thing I want you to put in your notes. God's salvation requires humility. It's impossible, put this down, it's impossible to be saved until we humble ourselves and admit we're sinners and need God's salvation. Have you done that yet? Have you done that yet? Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous. You know, there's something in us. I've spoken to people over and over, and the reason they don't want to get saved is because I said, I'm not that bad. You ever spoken to anyone like that? I'm not that bad. Perhaps you're here this morning and that's what you're saying. I don't need God's salvation because I'm not that bad. In fact, sometimes folks will tell me, I'm really better than many of the folks in your church. They actually say that, by the way. They literally say that. And do you know what the truth is? It's true. You see, but the good news is, salvation is not based on how much good works you can produce. Salvation is all of God. It's all by grace. It's all because of what he did. It's not because we are so good. And so, my friend, I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus? Have you humbled yourself before him and said, God, I recognize I'm a sinner. You say, you better believe you are, because Jesus said, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes you. And you might be better than me, and you might be better than many other people sitting here. But here's the thing, are you as good as God? And that's the standard. And may God help you this morning, my friend, if you have never done this, that you would humble yourself before God and say, God, this morning I'm willing to admit I'm a sinner. I thank you that you came to save me. And this morning, please save me. Number one, God's salvation requires humility. But second, God's salvation brings peace. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. When asked if you could choose whatever you wanted most in your life, what would you choose? In almost every survey, people have always said the thing they would choose is peace. People want peace. Peace at home, peace in their relationship, peace in their marriage, peace in their heart. People want peace. Do you want peace? Are you looking for peace? Well, thank God, Jesus brings us peace. And he brings us peace on at least two levels. Number one, he brings us peace with God. He brings us peace with God. Having peace with God is priceless. I want to tell you, knowing that I'm on good terms with God has brought great peace to my life. I was only 9 years old when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And since then, I am no longer afraid of God. Hallelujah. I fear God, but I'm not afraid of God. I enjoy spending time with Him. And I need to ask you, my friend, this morning, if you had to meet God today, would you be a little bit afraid? Is He your friend? Are you sure you have made peace with God? You see, if you haven't made peace with God, this morning He wants you to know that He wants to give you peace. He came to give peace, and you can have peace with God. The enmity, the war between yourself and God can end. The strife can end. You can have peace with God. But secondly, you can have the peace of God. The peace of God. Pascal wrote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man or woman which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God made known through Jesus Christ." You heard what Pascal said? There is something within us that cannot be satisfied except by God. Nothing else can work. He had it right. You know, folks have tried all sorts of things. Because sometimes we have the peace with God. Every Christian, we have peace with God. But sometimes we don't have what? The peace of God. We're still restless like everybody else. And we're trying all sorts of stuff. We think relationships will help us. The good job will help us. A good investment portfolio will help us. But nothing seems to work. And nothing will work because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one who can give us lasting peace. I'm going to put a verse up on the screen so that we can just think on this for a minute. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And here's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Did you see that? The peace of God, what? Transcends all understanding. The version they have here has surpasses. It's just amazing. But it says, do you notice what it says? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Be anxious about every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You have thanksgiving because you are confident in God. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Oh, there's some of you here this morning and you have issues you're dealing with. You have medical issues. You have family issues. You have financial issues. There are all sorts of reasons why we are stressed out. And God is telling you, and He's telling me, that we can enjoy what? The peace of God. And it transcends all human understanding. You say, does that really work? Well, you know, Paul, obviously, remember who's writing. Paul is the one writing. He's writing from imprisonment. While he's writing, he's imprisoned. This guy has already been beaten several times. He's been jailed. They've threatened to kill him. They've done all sorts of stuff to him. He has gone through it. And the Apostle Paul, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God and take it there and leave it there and trust the Almighty God to work on your behalf and to do what is best. Can you trust Him?
In a few moments, we'll hear the conclusion of today's broadcast. But first, let me invite you to visit us this Sunday for a very important series on the family being taught by Pastor Grant. This series, entitled Secrets to a Happy Home, will provide practical instruction from God's Word designed to make our homes the places of joy and blessing God intended them to be. GCA is located in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia and is truly a church for all nations. So make plans to join us this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant shares with us Secrets to a Happy Home. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
You see, I don't know if this dream works. Well, I tell you, Horatio Spafford, some of us know the story of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a lawyer and a businessman in Chicago. In 1871, his child died from pneumonia. His little boy died from pneumonia. And that same year, 1871, in the Great Chicago Fire, most of his business was wiped out. 1871 was a tough year. Lost his son, lost his business. But 1873 would have been even tougher. Because in 1873, Mrs. Stafford, his wife, and their four daughters, that's all he had left. Four more daughters. The son was already dead. She and the daughters were on their way on a French ocean liner from the United States to England. And while they were on their way from America to England, the ocean liner crashed into a Swiss liner and it went down. Boy, Mrs. Spafford did everything she could to save her girls. All four girls drowned. She made it. Sailors eventually found her clutching a piece of wreckage and were able to pick her up and take her over to Europe. And when she got to England, she sent a telegram in those days. She sent a telegram, saved alone. Boy, her poor husband, he got the next ship that was he could get to go to England. And on the journey, it passed the same spot where the collision occurred. And the captain of this vessel, knowing he would want to know where that other ship had gone down, where his four beautiful daughters had died, the captain of the ship said, "Mr. Spafford, we're right where the accident happened. This is where your four daughters died." He went out on the deck and he looked out for a while. And as he looked out, suddenly God flooded his soul with a peace that transcends all understanding. Mr. Spafford went back into his cabin, took out his pen, and started writing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." My friend, I want you to know that the peace of God can transcend all your understanding. God can give us the peace of God. Not just peace with God. That's for salvation. But he can give us the peace of God for daily living, for stabilization. Do you have it? Do you have it? Oh, simply learn to trust Jesus. Recognize that God loves you. Recognize he knows what's best for you. And so therefore, I can trust him. I can turn over my problems to him. I can depend on him. Oh, it doesn't mean everything is going to go the way you wanted. But my Father knows best. Hey, so what have we said so far? What can we learn from this story of the shepherds? Number one, we've learned that God's salvation requires humility. Second, that God's salvation brings peace. But finally, God's salvation requires a response. And so here we see in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, verse number 15. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known.' And they came with haste and found Mary," and so on and so forth. Listen, we must respond. Put this in your notes. We must receive Christ or respond to Christ now. Now. We must receive him. We must respond to him now. The shepherds responding immediately and hurriedly went in search of Jesus. The Bible teaches, listen to it, young man, young lady, older person, listen good. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." God says, "Come now. God is not dealing with tomorrow. He's calling you right now. And if this morning you recognize that you don't have peace with God, God is inviting you. He says, come now and let us reason. Come to me now. Salvation requires an immediate response. God wants us to respond today. Will you come to him today? But secondly, God's salvation requires a response. Second, for the believer, we must put it in your notes. We must spread God's good news. Verse number 17 of Luke 2. Now when they had seen him, the shepherds, that is, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Oh, hallelujah. These shepherds didn't waste any time. They immediately went spreading the good news that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, had come. And I want to ask you this morning, my friend, have you started spreading this good news yet? This is too good to keep to ourselves. It is too good to keep to ourselves. My brothers and sisters, aren't you glad those shepherds shared it? Aren't you glad this message was spread abroad? Aren't you glad that somebody told you about Jesus and today you are saved? And my friend, this news is too good to keep to yourself. It's time we get busy. And might God help you, might God help me, that we might be in the coming year be busy in spreading our master's the good news that Christ the Savior has come. So as I close, on this, the birthday of the King. On the birthday of the King, we're celebrating the birthday. But on his actual birthday, there was no room. And God wants to ask each of us this morning. He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to those who are not sure you're saved. He's asking you, are you willing to make room in your life for me? You may be a Christian and there's no longer much room because so much things have squeezed him out. And right now he's on the sideline. He's not the main focus of your life. Oh, you still love him, but he's sidelined. But Jesus wants to be front and center. And he's saying, will you make room in your heart? In your life today. But perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. You've never opened your heart. You've never made room in your life, in your heart for him. And Jesus is saying, why not make room today? Come now. Today. Now that you're hearing my voice, open your heart. Receive me. Receive my salvation. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.